I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. What a beautiful weekend we have in store for you this weekend with temperatures in the 70s. And Grant Wayman told us earlier this week on Utah's Morning News that maybe, just maybe, we're going to be done with the 80s and officially make the turn to fall and stay there, which has been the problem for the last little while. Also got some much-needed precipitation. But nice to have you. Whatever you've got planned this weekend to get out and enjoy in the outdoors should be a great weekend to do it. Tim Hughes here, along with Russ Smith.
Good morning.
Sky Call.
I got a couple things to say real quick.
All right.
What's wrong with the 80s? My wife keeps the house that hot all the time. But good morning to our friends out at Area 51.
Oh, the only thing good about
all
the
three
80s.
Of you.
The only good about the 80s, Russ,
here comes
is
the music. Yeah, here comes the music plug.
Disco.
Yeah. No, that was the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, so
morning.
Saying hi to the folks at Area 51.
Yeah. Are they listening
is
to
there,
us?
Is there I hope probably, yeah.
Is there really going to be an event out there? I mean, the guy that started the guy that started this thing on Facebook said it was a hoax. He's not showing up.
By the way, Twitter is mostly hooey. And by the way, I had to translate hooey to my kids, so they never, hooey, what's that?
Yeah. But I am curious whether this Area 51 thing has anybody turn up. There was a story midweek this week, however, of a couple of Dutch tourists who saw this silly thing on Facebook and decided on their trip to America, they would go find out what all the excitement of Area 51 was. They are now in jail. They went on the other side of the barbed wire to get pictures.
Not good.
Not good.
I've been out there.
Have you?
Yeah.
Just to take pictures
the desert? No, he came in his saucer. What are you
I
talking about?
I came through the gate.
He
kicked me
over the gate. Beamed in.
We rode as far north. It was in the winter, and we were on the motorcycle out of Vegas. And we rode as far as the little grocery store there, and that was about it. We turned around.
I'll tell you who really wants this thing to happen are the businesses that are within shouting distance, because they could use the business. But, they're planning a big party with music and everything. It'll be interesting on Monday to see who actually showed up and if anything took place. By the way, that's Mr. Navidauskas over there.
Good morning, Tim. And by the way, I like the cool weather. I know I'm not sleeping right now. It's too early, but sleeping is nice now. Have you noticed how deep you're sleeping in the morning?
Sleeping with the windows open.
Don't talk to me about sleeping in the morning.
Sorry, Tim.
I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning when it's 52 degrees.
You're one woke dude.
I am woke. Hey, before we jump into too much mirth and merriment here, I do want to make mention, because we weren't here last week. We had a best of that we want to send our condolences, and I've done that personally to you, but hugs on the loss of your brother.
Thanks.
I know that was tough for you.
Well, it was. I was on scene. That's difficult to stand there over. Now, he was down in a ravine, but to know that's your brother under the blanket, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough. And I spent 3 hours on the side of the road there. Great, great highway patrol, medics, everybody on scene was so good at doing what they're doing, but good to those of us that were waiting, you know.
Yeah,
and so it was pretty awesome. Now, by the way, we were on motorcycles with Patriot Guard on a mission to Blanding
for the 9/11 grave decorations.
Yeah, and he had a heart attack. He didn't have a motorcycle accident. His motorcycle, he just wandered off the road. You know.
Yeah.
So
that's tough.
Yeah. But you know.
Yeah.
We had great times together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Things happen, and when you're
Number yeah. is called. Your number
man,
is called.
There's not much you can do.
Not
about
a minute. not a minute sooner or yeah. later. Anyway, it's good to be back together
yeah,
with
is.
You, and we enjoyed getting out the other night with you and Chris.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's coming up on the show today. Navi said he enjoys the cooler temperatures. I know there's two reasons for that. Fishing's going to start to get good again.
Yeah.
And football season is on.
Yeah. Look, the new season's always fun. We can't wait. I mean, when it was cold, we couldn't wait for it to get warm. Yeah. Remember that?
Right, right.
But now the other way. And yeah. that's the best thing about living in Utah. We got all four seasons. And why people live in those one-season places makes no sense to me.
Because the ocean is close by. That's why.
yeah. Well, that's the only consolation.
There is that.
Yep.
Let's talk about what's coming up on the show today. A few weeks ago, what was it, 2 weeks? We talked to David Garlick.
Yeah.
On the sat phone, which right. was a great call, out there in Alaska somewhere, and he was on a caribou hunt, and he's home now.
By the way, that somewhere is north of the Brooks Range is where he was at. That's my understanding.
Out there in the tundra.
Yeah.
Samurai Eddie, I got the days confused. Oh. He got the days confused, so he was supposed to be in studio with us.
Oh. Mm. So we need to check back in on him, too.
Yeah.
But I bring up garlick because it sounds funny. Yeah. Let me talk about garlic. I love garlic on my shrimp. No, David Garlick is back, and he's got a whale of a tale to tell after he got off the phone with us, right after he got off the phone with us on the sat phone. And he's actually crediting us with bringing good luck to the hunt.
That's right.
But he also had an encounter with a bear that got his attention and
it's a great story.
His hunting buddy's attention
so,
in there.
So, the moral of the story is, call in to us here.
Yeah.
We'll bring kids out the doors.
Bears will arrive.
That's right.
Well, and the caribou.
And caribou, too.
Yeah. Just in time. Yeah. So, we'll look forward to that conversation coming up in the next, is this half hour? No, it's next hour.
Okay.
7:35, we'll be talking with David Garlick and get a refresh of what happened to him up there. You and I also had a chance a couple of weeks ago to make a motorcycle ride up to Parade Rest Ranch.
That's right.
Spent some time out on the porch with Marge and Clyde Seeley. And got a chance to talk about, since we're making the turn here to fall finally, about what the access to the park looks like, speaking of Yellowstone National Park, on snowmobiles.
That's right. A lot of rumors out there.
Yeah.
We're going to have the truth.
And we're going to go right to the source.
That's right.
There was a story going around, and somebody was arguing with you a couple of weeks ago.
They would not back down either.
That it's you cannot go into the park on a snowmobile in the winter, and that is false.
Yeah, totally false.
We will talk about that with Clyde Seeley.
Really? Somebody argued that?
They got it from somebody at the park. And
somebody in the park
told them. One source, and that's it.
Some tourist who was busy petting a buffalo.
Yeah, probably.
There was another one of those this week, too.
Well, only was is the operative word, was.
It wasn't somebody trying to kiss a buffalo, though. It was somebody who decided to go look down into Old Faithful.
You know,
yeah.
They need to put up a line.
Where's the halt? Where's the guy down there? Oh no!
Yeah,
they need the poles and the ropes, the line to look down Old Faithful.
Yeah,
that'd be a good way.
You
to...
know, the problem is
what?
It was probably a guy that was listening to the show when you were spreading the rumors that there's a guy down there with a lever and a hydraulic system.
Why?
I'm glad I could help out. You know, I love walking on the mountains and seeing those signs right on the cliff that say. Yeah. Danger cliff.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, we had some fun this week on Utah's Morning News because we did the story, but we had somebody's cell phone audio from the Park Service lady that was standing there trying to get him back onto the boardwalk. Let me just do my impersonation of it. I'm going to have to get away from the microphone to do this.
This is the Park Service! Get back on the boardwalk!
And how did he respond to that?
I think he got back on the boardwalk. It was hilarious, just the audio of it. Now, I realize that's a scary situation, and somebody seriously could die. I mean, your face will melt.
Without a doubt.
Your face will melt if your timing is bad to go look into one of the geysers.
Like Mom when I put her hairpin in the plug.
So anyway...
Yeah.
There was another one of those this week. How did we get sidetracked? Oh, we were going to also finish a conversation with Clyde, which we will do just before we zip out of here this morning at 8 o'clock. He's in his free time, and I put that in air quotes, decided that he's going to be an author now. So he's written a book. that is available in paperback, believe it or not, about his life. And he's got a lot of great stories to tell, some of which he shared with us through the years. So we'll tell you about his book as we wrap it up, coming up on the program today. Also, at so we talked about garlic, talked about that. Oh, in our 705 segment, we're going to connect with the Division of Wildlife Resources. Mm-hmm. Waterfowl season is coming up.
Yep.
Right around the corner. And
going to be good.
It sounds like it's mostly good news. Because
we have water.
We have a ton of water.
Yep.
And that is a big attractor for
Doug's best friend.
The Pacific Flyway. They look down and they see water and land here. So, to, you know, take a little respite.
And you got those, you know, those web feet. You're like, land?
Yeah.
No. Give me the water.
Give me some shoes.
So we'll look forward to that conversation. And we have some news of the week coming up here in a minute. Also, some fishing news that I want to share. There is a change. They're asking, the Division of Wildlife is asking for an increase and giving you an increase in limits at least one spot in Utah because they need to drain the reservoir. We'll tell you where that is coming up a little later in this next half hour. So we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back with the news of the week. And you know who I heard from this week too?
Who?
James in Texas.
Oh, good. He's probably got issues, huh?
He reached out to me.
That's good.
And I told him we would do our best to connect with him. So,
good.
Yeah, he's had some health problems.
My wife asked about him, actually.
Yeah. A lot of people know.
A lot of people have.
He's a part of the show. But we'll hopefully make a connection with him sometime soon. But we'll be back.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
After this break. All right, welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Time for a little news of the week here, guys. We were talking about bears and the bear story that David Garlick's going to share with us. There was a bear story earlier this week in Orem on State Street and Main Street. Did you see that? Or no, State and Center, I think.
Somebody without clothes?
Yeah, look at the little guy in the picture we've got on our Facebook page.
Oh, he's
there.
In a tree.
Yeah. 2-year-old bear that evidently... You know, I mean, obviously, not evidently, obviously was a little misguided.
Got well, all 2-year-old bears are. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Mom kicks them out.
Oh.
And she kicks because she's ready to do another one. So that's the time they kick them out. And that's why they're in trouble. They wander.
Yeah, this one's probably down dumpster diving and had a shopping cart. And
Mama kicked me out. And she's not cooking meals at home anymore.
I made a wrong turn.
This is a 2-year-old male that the DWR, Faith Jolly, sent me a quick note telling me they tranquilized the little chocolate-colored black bear and relocated it back to the Wasatch Mountains for his own safety. But anyway, that one making headlines this week. Look at this video.
Oh, this is awesome. Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yes.
I want to read where it came from because it is in Utah. I can't scroll down.
Those are elk, right?
Those are elk.
Yeah.
And this came from San Juan, Utah.
Yeah.
The video recorded there during this year's archery hunt. Thanks to Chad Bassett and Lindsay Christensen for sharing it with us.
This guy's just standing there.
You can hear, I think.
That's his bow and his arrows.
Yeah.
And
that's him standing there.
Listen to what he says when we get to it.
I don't think he says a word.
Well, maybe it was what I read. He was so afraid
You hear?
Oh, man.
Okay.
That's the bull there.
He hasn't seen the bull yet, and he doesn't want to move and spook these young elk. That's
She's so licking cute. His arrows.
Yeah.
Licking the bow. And
just checking it out, you know.
One of the people that posted this
says,
throughout the encounter, I was crossing my fingers. The elk wouldn't trample
You're
my
right.
bow that
That's
was laying
was.
On the ground. But who would have thought this kind of an opportunity would come to anybody?
That elk just continues to lick his bow there.
Yeah.
probably got a little DEET on it. When he sprayed himself down or something. Who knows?
Anyway, that's one of the most amazing videos I think I've ever seen. And there was another one.
Well, this is the one that's
tremendous.
That's
a big elk there. That guy's fly fishing.
Have you seen this?
No.
this is the Watch other one this. That's getting so much attention online, and I put it on our Facebook page. Yeah. Just listen.
I love this. I love the soundtrack from it.
Navi always says that the world always looks better from
the river out.
From the river out. Here's a fly fisherman standing in really nice, calm water.
Right next to
He doesn't dare even look here, but there is a giant bull elk taking a drink, probably
30 feet from him?
12 feet.
No, he's not that.
Yeah, look how big he is. Lay him down twice. But that's two six-foot guys.
Listen,
okay.
The elk comes up from sipping the water and then looks around. There is another elk right in front of him, by the way, but all of a sudden decides he's going to speak up about somebody being in his waterway after he takes another drink. And this guy just continues to fly fish. He looks over every once in a while at the elk.
The only thing that would be better, Tim, is if he hooked a nice rainbow right now.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah.
Jeez.
How amazing is that video? I mean, to have a week where we had two of those that actually showed up online this week.
I'm going to move that over to audio and just let it continue all day long. Just
that
a,
is
a loop,
awesome.
A continuous loop.
The cow's like, you worried? He's like, no, that's a catch and release guy. I can tell by the way he casts.
Yeah, don't need to worry about him.
Here's the other one that is making some news this week, and it's just a couple of days ago, and we're not going to have time to sort it out.
By the way, this
out.
Is why you fish. People wonder, that's why you fish. You want to be in
a part
nature.
Of nature.
Yep.
Yeah. This one is getting quite a few responses, and I've put a call in to do or have a conversation with Sarah up there at Solitude. Did you see the story about Solitude charging for parking now?
Mm-mm. No, they're but gonna, it's crazy to park up there now.
It is crazy.
It makes sense
that
they would.
It's tough parking.
Yep.
They're taking the environmental approach on it that, they're trying to force people really into getting more than a couple of you and certainly more than one in a car up to the resort because they just don't have a lot of parking.
No,
or
it's a canyon.
Or take the bus up.
Right.
But it's going to be $20 if you show up by yourself in a car. Wow. It's going to be $20 to park your car. And there are people that made the purchase of the Icon Pass. And I have some close friends, and they are livid.
You can look at me, okay, ready? I decided to ski that canyon this year because I have the Icon Pass.
Yeah.
And I want to go visit my old buddies up there, at those ski resorts in that canyon, Big Cottonwood.
Yeah.
And I couldn't park. I couldn't park.
Yeah.
It was so far down the canyon. People were hiking miles to get up there.
Yeah. Well, and here's the problem. People that, and I mentioned the Icon Pass, it has done this to not just Solitude, but many resorts. It's brought so many people in that otherwise wouldn't ever have sampled that resort, and they might find one they love.
That's why
and
I was there.
Yeah. So it has put a real cramp on the tough parking that was already there.
Right.
But I have friends who shall be remain unnamed here who called Icon, wanted a full refund on their Icon pass.
Because they couldn't park.
Because they were told they would have a season's pass at Solitude by purchasing the pass, which they thought covered their cost. And now they're being told they've got to pay $20 to put their car in the parking lot. And I'm telling you,
that's not. Here's the ones, the Deer Valley people. Don't know that Deer Valley closes after so many people. People showed up with their Icon going, we need to ski. Well, you got here too late. We're full.
Yeah, they've shut the mountain down.
And that's not parking. That's skiing.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of concerns with what's going on. And look, it's a fluid situation
because the
resorts are learning how to deal with it.
Right. And they're going to have to, acclimate. But you know how I love to promote skiing? I keep promoting skiing on this show.
Yeah.
People are telling me, stop now. Stop promoting it.
Too many people on the slopes.
Yep.
And I just want to make a quick mention of this. It's a story you'll find on KSL.com of a Provo man that organized hunting events for wheelchair users like him. And this event has already taken place, but Clint Robinson broke his neck after being thrown off a horse at a rodeo about 32 years ago and has done his best to keep getting into the outdoors to hunt and fish. And he did an event called Wheelchairs in the Wild that pairs people that have physical disabilities with hunters who help them with whatever they need. And many have go in off-road vehicles. But just a great event. And there's lots of pictures to go beyond
the
story.
That's a great thing, Tim. This is so they need to have wheelchair blinds.
Yeah.
Only wheelchair can hunt from this blind. And that'd be great.
By the way, it's not just adults either. There's a story included in this of a 13-year-old who has spina bifida And her father loves to hunt, but didn't know how to accommodate her wheelchair. They helped her do that.
Good.
And get her out there with her dad. So, great stuff. Hats off for that event, and specifically to Clint Robinson for organizing it. We'll take a break. We've got news update on the half hour on the other side. We will reconnect with David Garlick, and we'll have more on that coming up on his fantastic trip up to Alaska. Don't go away.